Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio. Listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio. Listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio is the premier choice in internet radio. You're rocking with the best every Thursday night. Live in urban music, culture, and lifestyle. That's right, www.brownsugarradio.com. Come on, keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, brown sugar radio.
Keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, Brown Sugar Radio.
B-R-O-W-N-S-U-G-A. Go run and tell the DJ. Hitting the Vegas and hitting worldwide. Brown Sugar Radio is all the way live. Let's shake the world. Good night.
Welcome back, all of the loyal listeners of Brown Sugar Radio. Y'all know what time it is, Thursday Night Live, as we set it off before the new year begins. And I felt like this show was going to be a very informative show, and the guests that I have tonight are going to certainly change your view on life and your view in regards to distracted driving tonight, all right? It's something that I felt very passionate about, and this message needed to be heard, especially with the new year arriving. Many of you know that this is a very busy time of the year. And so what I want to do this evening is just put a message out that is going to certainly impact your life and help you think, you know, give you something in life to look forward to in 2011. And I wanted to do it with a special guest tonight. We have the CEO and founder of Love From Afar, Cynthia Williams. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I can be here with you all. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on and share my story with the world because I believe it's very impactful. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, we got to welcome you on in. A round of applause, Cynthia. All right. They don't call us the live and show for nothing. All right. We get down here on Brown Sugar Radio. All right, and so I'm really, really honored, first and foremost, because I got to tell you, it takes a tremendous amount of courage and strength for a woman that has been through such a devastating event in her life. Losing a child is something no mother ever dreams of. I'm a mother myself. And for you to just be so strong and to hold your head high and to speak out against something you feel so passionately about, I want to commend you for that. I want to let you know that that is something that I find very, 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 very fond of you, you know, and that's not an easy job to do. And what I've realized in life is that sometimes the assignments that God gives us, they're not always easy assignments that we have to do, but it's an ordained mission that God has called us to do. And so certainly tonight I want your story to be heard.
Well, thank you so much because I think you pretty much said it. I believe as a mother, when you become that, the very first moment that you realize you will be a mother, you have to know God is ordained in it because to know you have something growing inside of your body that will soon become part of you is an amazing feeling in itself. And to go through that time frame, the ups and downs of being a mother, and just learning how to do it. And if everyone is real with themselves, they know that process in itself is very, very detrimental to your life and whosoever life you have conceived. And you take it for granted when you seem to think that every day tomorrow is guaranteed. And so you know it's God ordained when he comes back to get that precious child of yours to take him back home with you, and then you're still left to deal with why he left, how he left, and are you going to ever meet him again? So, yes, if you don't know that, and I'm sure there's many people that walk in many different ways of life with their religion, you still have to know the alarm clock just isn't what woke you up this morning, you know, and it's something else you have to face. And so, yeah, it's somewhat detrimental, to say the least, but when you know God's a part of it, it makes it all beautiful.
That's it. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I want to kind of go back, Cynthia, to when we were teenagers, you know, and engaging in social activities. We never thought of the dangers while driving and hanging out with our friends, you know. And I want to just really stress that, you know, when you're 16, 17 years old, that's not something that you think about, you know, is being safe. You want to be cool. You know, you want to hang out with your friends. You want to, you know, ride. Because I know me, when I was 16, 17 years old and driving, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. You know, I'm driving. I'm doing my thing. And we got to kind of, you know, change the view and the outlook. It's not about being cool or fitting in with the cool person that has the car. You have to be safe, you know. And one question that I find very, very debatable. Do you feel that parents should wait until their kids are 18, you know, to begin driving?
You know, what I feel is, it's funny you say that because, yes, what we have to do as parents is we have to begin to understand, first of all, we cannot assume our children are aware of the difference between a destructive decision and a constructive decision. We can't assume they know that. It's every moment's a teachable moment. So it's not really a matter of age, per se, to say that a child is ready. For me and my home, having another sibling that's old enough to drive, what I say wait on is only you know what goes on in your home, okay? So if you know that child that's 17 has had the same chores since he was 12, take the garbage out, clean your room, clean your bathroom, and you still have to tell him that every day, he's not ready. If you know you have a young lady who is really focusing on sitting on the telephone, because now we young girls, so this is what we can relate to, sitting on the phone after school, trying to prance and pray and get ready for tomorrow with the clothes and the shoes and all of that, but you still have to be told to clean your room and do your chores, she's not ready. So responsibility comes that when you give your child a set of keys and they go outside the home, they put other children in the car with them, and you haven't enforced the responsibility level starting at home, you there encounter other folks' lives with the ones that you seem to think you assume they understand. So back to our age, at 16, 17, I think it was the minute we left the house, we didn't want to do the things our parents told us to. It was like, oh, she nagging. Oh, she, whoa, she just shut up. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But then you get out there and say,
the truth. Yes.
Right. I don't even really want to much hear what my mom said. She said don't wear a seatbelt. I ain't doing it because all I hear my mama say do it. You know, when I get in the car with my friends, I'm doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm negating my responsibility. So you don't have to be with your child. I say all that to say this. You don't have to be with your child because the minute someone tells you something your child did and you know you just yelled at them about it the day before, you very well can't negate the fact to say, yeah, my baby did that.
Yeah,
I didn't have to be there to know my baby did that because we know our children.
Yeah, that's it.
So
peer pressure is something else, you know.
What?
And
yes,
it's something. It is something else, and you know, I just remember those days. And now this is the scary part, Cynthia. When we were teenagers, not to give our age out, all right?
Right.
But
right.
They didn't have the they didn't have the text messaging. And you know what I mean? And all this other, the Bluetooth, all this other stuff that's out now, that's crazy. The TV screens that go on the dashboards now. You know what I'm saying? It's so much more that's out right now that can certainly be a major factor in distracted driving that we have to make sure that we stress the importance of this message. And you know, what I'd like to do is go back, like I said, just a woman of courage, and I'm so grateful for you feeling comfortable enough to share this with my listeners on Brown Sugar Radio tonight. But I want to go back to the day where Christopher was actually leaving the house, all right?
Okay.
Where was Christopher on his way to when the accident happened?
Well, I'll have to take you to a few days prior to that, which is why it's so important for us and what we're doing. Later on, we'll tell your listeners what it is we're doing and why I'm even on here. So let's go back to a few days, maybe 3-4 days prior to the crash. I had gotten a call from Christopher's school saying that he had gotten in some trouble. And I'm one of the parents that are constantly at the school. Anywhere, any school my child is in, I'm probably there every day. You would think I was a teacher or something, but it's important that I take the walk.
Like me.
You got to take the walk with the kids. You got to kind of just peep in and let them know you're not, that you're transparent, that you're not sitting at home just assuming that daycare from kindergarten to 12th grade, because it's not. You got to take, you have to be transparent in your children's lives. So I'm one of those parents, and I'm constantly there. And so they gave me a call
and
said, hey, you know, Miss Williams, exactly. Christopher got in some trouble today with three other men, and we're going to have to suspend him. And I said, oh, man, what'd he do? And he said, we know, we'll talk about it. I know you're at work, so come by to school tomorrow. We'll go over all the details with you. But basically, he had left the campus to go get some Wendy's with his friends, and when they came back, the car kind of reeked of marijuana. So they searched him. There was no marijuana in the car, and they found out, you know, that they had skipped school, so they got suspended. Well, because of me being transparent at the school, the other three children got a pass. They all should have been expelled or actually taken to juvenile, but they weren't, okay? They ended up saying, we're going to suspend them for 3 days. Come to the school and reinstate them on Monday. It was a Thursday.
So, okay.
So I get an email from him saying, hey, Mom, you told me I was going to always have to take ownership of my actions. You're telling me that you know, not to lie because my lies will follow me, but I promise that I just went to the car to get the food. I had nothing to do with it. All right, son, well, I'll be home. We'll talk about it. Well, I had a family member of mine call me and say that she wanted to come by the house to pick him up, and I said, well, no. You know, he needs to take his punishment because he's the first grandson of the family, so he was very spoiled. Let's not negate that, okay? That's what it was. And I was very appreciative of the family that I have and the support that they gave me for him. But at the end of the day, you know how we do our children. So I said, you know, why would they tell me you had skipped and you didn't? One thing led to another. We found out that he really didn't. He really had skipped school and had skipped all week. And I finally found out the reason that he skipped was because he had made some destructive decisions as a ninth grader. And before he could graduate, he needed to finish some freshman classes. And the paralyzation of fear had set in on him. And he didn't want to be a senior in the class with ninth graders. So he chose to skip those classes that he had ninth graders in because I guess his swag wasn't right. Whatever.
Oh,
so I
wow.
said, you know, you still have to go to the class. Now I'm not going out. And, you know, here in Georgia, a lot of people don't know that they have a law that once a child becomes 17, he can withdraw himself from school without parent consent and never have to go back, okay? So, of course, he was 17, and he was told that he didn't have to go back. So he chose he was going to drop out. And I said, well, that's giving up the battle. Okay, so this is like that Thursday, that Friday. That's giving up the battle. We're not going to do that. And he was really belligerent. He got mad. The police called. The police came by. He was still belligerent at that point. So they ended up taking him to jail and just trying to get him to calm down. And said, you know, we're not going to charge him with anything, but we really can't leave him here with the way he's acting. Let's just take him so he can calm down. I said, you know, whatever. I said, and I explained to them that I'm one of the mothers that if you make a destructive decision, I can support you as long as you tell me the truth. But I can't support you because I can't cover up your lie if I don't know what part of the lie you're telling me. So So all I tell my children, always be consistent with what you tell me, because I was a young teenager and I found out lies didn't get you anywhere, so I had to stop telling them. So I need you to understand that you can't tell them because they're not going to get you anywhere, and that's not where we're trying to go, okay? So he decided that, and they went ahead. That was a Friday that he went. Okay, so he got out the next morning, clearly. I'm calling. He doesn't want to come home. He's upset because it shouldn't have went that way. And the Monday morning, he was supposed to come to the school to meet me to get him reinstated, which is August 21st. So they call. I get to the school 7 in the morning. I'm there waiting on him to be dropped off to come to the school. I call the family member that he's with, and I say, hey, why are you not bringing him to school? And she says, oh, he said he's quit. He dropped out. And I said, well, hey, didn't nobody let you quit? And I was stuck between a rock and a hard place because I was at the school. I had went to the jail and sat at the jail the day before, 8 hours, just to get them to say, I don't care about the law. I need this paperwork if you're going to give him a bond to say he has to go to school because his education is important to me before anything else. And they told me, well, because of the law, we can't do it, Ms. Williams. I'm sorry. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to sit in jail with him. So I sat in the waiting area of the jail for 8 hours now. They walked past me. Shift changed. And when the shift changed, the sheriff said, why are you here? And I said, because they said they wouldn't sign a paper for my son to be mandated to go to school. And so I said, if he in jail, I'm in jail. Forget it. I'll just stay here with him. And I can't. I got to keep my hands on him. And the sheriff said, man, I've never had a parent do this. And I said, well, it's important that my kids graduate because at 17, I made the destructive decision to have sex for the very first time, and I had that baby. I refuse to allow my children to repeat my footsteps. There's nothing in my life that I've ever wanted more was for my children not to be like me but to be better than me. And so it was part of my goal that the world didn't have to know, but, okay, it's time that they knew because I wasn't going to bite that he was going to give up and drop out. I wasn't having it.
I know that's right.
I wasn't having it. Got to the school the next morning, that Monday morning. They didn't bring him. Here I am again. I sat in the same office. I completely stopped the show of the conference office that day because I refused. I did get the sheriff to sign the paper, but when they didn't bring him to school, you know how they do, I thought they would let the sheriff know that he didn't come to school, so I sat in the conference office like, if I move, y'all might call the jail and get his bond revoked, so I'm just going to sit right here. He said, Ms. Williams, you don't have to sit there. I said, you know, I notice I'm in this by myself, and it's okay. I'll be in this by myself because that's my child before it's anyone else's, before it's any other family members, before it's a grandmama's child. That's my baby. I'm not moving because what's important is he going to graduate. That was August 21st. I sat in that school till the last bell rang. From 7:30 that morning, I sat, never used the bathroom, never ate, never did nothing. I was furious because I couldn't control where my child was and how to get him to me. So my first in my mind was, as soon as I leave the school, I'm going to nut up. I'm going to go to wherever he is and just act out because that's what I know, right?
Right.
A sense of peace came over me because not even, I think about 3 hours later, I got the phone call to meet him at the hospital because he had been in a crash. And when I got to the hospital, that's what was there. So I never got a chance to talk to him ever again.
Wow. So you didn't know he was released out of jail. You were in jail thinking he was still there.
Well, he was there while I was there. He just didn't get out until he got out the next morning. Once the sheriff told me it was okay, I could leave. They were going to make sure the paper got signed. They did get the paper signed. They gave it to me. They sent it to the school because here we have security officers that are actually our county police officers. So I knew that. And because I'm a parent in the school on a regular basis, I knew they would just fax the paperwork to the school, and the first thing the officer was going to check was, let's go to attendance, let's see if he's here. And he wasn't. So I had to take that ownership. So I had started immediately after he left. When I got to the hospital, the story was just different. It was four children, and I say young adults, not kids, because they were over 17, 18, I think, and then it was like 20-something.
Right.
And
kids is like, 5 and 6 years old. That's kids, okay?
Yeah. Young adults.
That's right.
Four young adults. And
wow.
Who should have been responsible, who should have known their priorities in any vehicle, whether you're in a car with your mom, whether you're in a car with your friends. There's rules you have to follow, period. And
absolutely.
All the stories were different. I know that the phone was involved from the paramedics, but that was 4 years ago, so texting wasn't as broad in our horizons as it is now. So they didn't do much
about it. Who was driving the vehicle? It was one of his friends, or was he driving?
No. My niece was driving, and he actually was a passenger. The car flipped 9 times.
In the front seat.
No, he was in the back seat. He was the only one not wearing his seatbelt. The car flipped 9 times. Mm-hmm. Yep, the car flipped 9 times, and the other 3 young adults were at the hospital with me, and he was the only one that didn't survive. He actually didn't pass right away. He was on, they sedated him, then they put him in a coma state, then they put him in a paraplegic state, but he never came through. A week later, I actually pulled the plug, and it was like the day before my birthday.
Jesus. Wow, that is just unbelievable. You know, and it's funny because now they have the click it or ticket message that they're bringing out. And it's just crazy how I see, even here in Vegas, I see a lot of teenagers out here. They won't have their seatbelts on, you know. They got the music blaring. They got the windows down. And I'm just like, you know, are you focused? I get nervous when I get around some of these kids, you know what I mean, wheeling out of this parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm at the school. So my heart goes out to you. And you know, it's amazing to see the buildup of your testimony, you know, and the frustration that you went through, but the perseverance as a mother to make sure that your son graduated. We need more mothers like that. And it just really means something to me because I just truly, truly believe with all my heart that when God gives us these children, he trusts us that we are going to guide them and lead them in the way that he knows is best. And so by you standing up for what you believe what was right in your heart, you know what I'm saying? That really, I'm sure, shook up the officers were in that jail that day. They probably ain't never seen nothing like that in their life.
Yeah, you know, they haven't. And they sat there, and they were amazed. Like, he crossed his legs and sat next to me and said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Because that's my child." And he said, "I'm sitting here looking at you," and he said, "As I'm a father, and I've been a father, and my children are grown, I'll never forget this officer saying, 'I wouldn't do it.' You know, these kids," I said, "that's because your job, you're immune to what goes on with these children. But are we ever thinking what's really going on? Or do you just see them come in and out this jail?" You got to understand that as a child at 17, we're saying 17. He's still a baby to somebody.
Yeah.
Now, who he gets around when he's not around his family, that's a whole nother something. Because think about who you were when you're not with your mama, or you're not with your dad, or you're not with your sisters and brothers. Everybody's somebody else, because you don't want the world to think this is really who you are. But when you get with somebody and you're having fun, those are the things many of us will die with set to the side in the closet. Because we don't want everybody to know that. But what has happened is what we've done, someone was exposed to it. I don't care what it is. I don't have to be in your home to know what is going on. What I do know is these children were exposed to these epidemics, and that's why when I start out speaking to these kids, I say to them, first, let me say I'm sorry, because I don't know which one of you young ladies saw me when I was a teenage mother and thought it was cool to win and had your own baby. I don't know which one of you young men saw me and my family sell drugs and thought it was cool and did it yourself. But what I do know is there's a consequence that everybody has to adhere to for the decision they make. None of them that way is merely positive. It always ends up negative, and we don't always have the right avenues to follow if everybody in our house is in jail and I'm 17. I may think that's where I need to go. Mm-hmm. If nobody's following directions in my home, I may think, hey, why should I? But what you have to do is lead by example by all times. And is it hard? Yes. But just think, let's go back to that young child that was in your stomach that you rubbed for 9 months and it came out. And that first visual you got of that child should be enough to make sure they don't walk in the same footsteps you walked in, because it's going to go the same way.
That's just unbelievable, you know, and I just find that when you go through things like this in life, you know, it just truly is an eye-opener. And, you know, I honestly believe in my heart, Cynthia, that had you not have went through this, you know, your whole outlook on distracted driving would not be this explosive, you know, this you know, powerful, where you're coming across and people can hear the conviction in your voice that you are serious about making sure that we encourage our children to not follow what's popular, what's,
right.
You know, what is familiar,
right.
What the in crowd is doing. I tell
right.
my children all the time, you got to be a leader, not a follower.
Period.
Do you. You be happy
that's
with
right.
who you are and how God created you to be. And on that note, how do you think, Cynthia, that you can encourage parents to hold their children more accountable when it comes to driving safely?
I think the biggest thing for us as parents, and I say us because I have other children that will be driving again, and all of us have children that one day they will drive, it's enforcing the rules. And don't say, you know, kids think, like we were just talking, kids think, ah, she's nagging again. So I make sure I tell, like, I have a daughter that's 19. That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother something. When I tell you she caught the clue
that's a whole nother show.
But she caught the
okay.
clue. When I say she caught the clue, I can say, here's the keys, but now tell me what you need to do. Yes, ma'am, I don't need to drive with anyone in the car because my license doesn't prohibit. Yes, ma'am, I don't need to text while I'm driving. My phone must be off, and I call you as soon as I get there. I don't need to do these things. So she's reinforcing the rules to me. I'm not talking. I'm listening to her tell me the rules because I know you know them. So I don't have to say, hey, now remember don't be texting on that phone, and remember don't be da-da-da-da, because they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear you. Because you're saying the same story over and over again. That's like watching CNN all day. You know they're repeating the same story. You could stop what you're watching, catch it back up, and miss anything. So you got to relate everything to a child because every moment's a teachable moment, and don't lose one moment. Because that moment that you lose is a time they could have been taught something. So you got to take the ownership in your own home so the kids know that once they leave your home, you can kind of sit back and say, yeah, I think I'm all right. I know my child's going to listen. Are they going to make mistakes? Clearly. But they'll be able to know that there was a consequence behind the mistake that they made, and that's their consequence. Because you knew right from wrong. You know the decision, the difference between a constructive and destructive decision, because I've instilled that in you. So now you tell me why you did wrong when all I wanted you to do was right. You have to open the door of communication. That's the only way we're going to make our children take ownership of their actions, is sit down and let them tell you, why did you have four kids in a car when you know the rule is one? You just have to say it. Why did you text when you're driving? Why are you speeding? And then you have to give them the shock value, like I tell the kids. Who would have thought? I think some two very most impressionable times of this whole epidemic for me, or tragedy to say the least, that I've now turned into triumph, is more so one thing per se. I tell the kids, the biggest decision I had through it all was one, the doctor calling me and saying, hey, Ms. Williams, it was like everybody was doing their job, so no one really had time to comfort me or support me. It was like, hey, Ms. Williams, your son is dying, and I need you to hurry up and sign this paperwork so we can take him to the operating room. And I'm sitting there, and in a minute, it's like, wah, 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 wah. You don't hear because you're like, what are you trying to tell me? I got to make this decision right now for my child? Doctor's like, yeah, Ms. Williams, you're going to have to go ahead and sign this paper. We got to get him the surgery. And all right, let me sign the paper. You don't know what you're signing. You have no idea. All you know is you don't want nothing to happen to your child. So you've signed your life away. You have no idea. You're not looking at that. You're just doing what the doctors say, because any human on this earth, that's the only person everybody trusts is the doctor. They just assume they know what's going on because it's the doctor, right? So then the doctor comes, calls me from the OR room and say, hey, Cynthia, I need to come back up and have you sign one more paper, but I really don't have time because he's passed on the table two or three times already. Can you just give me permission to cut his skull out? I'm like, what? Yeah, listen, I got to get the swelling down off the brain, but if you can give me the permission to cut his skull out, I'll go ahead and do that. Let's just try to save him, please, Cynthia. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm thinking my biggest decision was the power company, gas company, insurance bill. One, two, three. Which one's going to get paid this month? And now it's cut the skull out of my child because of some destructive decisions that young adults made once they left the house? That's not fair. But it is what it is. And it has to be told that way so the kids don't think that they have to negate decisions they make. You cannot any longer sugarcoat life for our kids because our community
right.
is the one that's suffering. We have to all take lead in this. It's almost like we all going to Afghanistan in our own little cities because
it's
at the
so
end
important.
Of the day, who? Yeah, these are our children. Who's going to be our doctors, lawyers, judges if we keep letting them all go to jail and have five kids for their 20s? I mean, who's going to do it?
Yeah, that's true.
That's our job. That's every mother's job. That's every father's job. That's our job. I wouldn't care if you don't like the man you had a child with and never ever talk to him again. Yeah, have at it. But at the end of the day, you know your job.
Yeah, that's true.
And it has to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Done.
You know, I agree. And you know, I want to ask you, Cynthia, how did you begin the Christopher Allen Williams Foundation, also known as Love from Afar? Tell us how that actually began.
Well, actually how it started is, to be honest, when I went home, I live in Atlanta by way of Chicago. My family lives in Illinois. And when I went home to bury my son, what I found out was there were many, many children there. Because then you find out who your children's friends are. That's one thing you know when you bury somebody. You find out, oh, you never knew who they were, but you hear them talk about it. And I know the church, they say, holds about 900. The church was standing room only. Everybody was outside. And my son's mentor at the time was Minister Eddie Velez. And he flew home with me. He's a hip-hop minister is what he considers himself. He was a youth minister at the time, but he does hip-hop Christian radio. And what he says is these kids are going to have to start taking ownership for their actions, but they don't know to take them unless the parents tell them to take them. And then I had to just stop for a second and look within my own family and say, we could take the things that we've always taken within our families and just keep letting it go in a circle if we don't want anything for our children. Or we can take our own life and each year of our life re-engage that with our own children. So if you knew at 9 your mama had to keep telling you that you needed to do this and you didn't do it, more than likely when your child is 9, same thing is going to happen until you stop it. Same thing with me. My mother, my daughter's grandmother, and me were teenage parents. Well, I refused to let my daughter go through the pain itself of a mother just to have a child because I was always alone when I had mine. So I'm like, let me tell you the reasons why I don't want you to do it. And we had these talks when she was about 12, 13, because I declared there will be no boyfriends. That, you know, I know what messed me up, so I'm not going to have her repeat the cycle. So I said,
yeah.
Let me go out and share my life. And I say my life because I openly share my life with any teenager there could be because I went wayward at about 9.
Nine
years old, I was able to know why I was so angry. It took me as an adult to go back to my life and relive it. But what I said was, oh, we need to share stories with these children that are real life epidemics so they know, hey, I'm like you. But I came out of it. Hey, I'm just like you, but I'm not like that anymore. Hey, I don't want you to glorify what I did because I was wrong with what I did. I want you to be better than me. If I thought that it was important for you to be a teenage mother,
twice by 19, hey, I'll just take you around and let you be a teenage girlfriend. No, we
yeah,
don't want
that's
that.
Real. That's real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to eliminate that. Because if you take the time to tell your daughter, I bet from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night, if I gave you something to do, you much wouldn't have time to get on the phone and be chit-chatting about nothing and your schoolwork dropping and the grades is dropping and everything else is dropping because your focus ain't there.
And that's
so
really important because we have to
we
have to make sure they stay focused, you know?
Gotta stay focused. And who better can keep them focused but the person who had them, who knows them?
Their parents. That's so
Yeah, you can have a 14-year-old at 10 o'clock at night, you don't know where they are, and because the police came to the door to say he was involved in an armed robbery. Oh, I
know. No, we're not having that. No, ma'am, we can't have that. Well, Cynthia, we're at our half-point hour, and I have so many more questions for you. And so definitely all of the listeners that are tuning in, whether it's via Facebook or if you're in our live chat tonight, I want to welcome you to Brown Sugar Radio, all the new listeners and all my loyal listeners. Thank you for tuning back in tonight. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and then when we get back, we're going to actually have some more in-depth information in regards to the application. Cynthia is going to actually share with us an application that she believes is life-changing. And then we also have on the line, we're going to get into more details. We're going to have Michael White and Demetrius Thomas come on and share with us, you know, how this application can certainly empower you, all right, and make it a difference in your life for the Global Mobile Alert. So definitely keep it locked here on your premier choice in internet radio. And we will certainly be right back, all right? So don't click that mouse.
This is Gino, Latin Bird, on Brown Sugar Radio. Hey, what up, y'all? It's your man, Montel Jordan. Right now, you got your station locked on to Brown Sugar Radio. You feel me? The livest urban show on the internet. Holla at your boy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. What's happening?
I just wanted to make sure we're still on the bus.
Yes, definitely.
Where is it again? I forgot.
Hold on. Let me check.
Okay.
Yo, 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 what's up? What's up? This is Troy Taylor, Songbook Entertainment, and I got my man, Trey Songz.
Yeah, you know what it is, baby. We chilling right here on Brown Sugar Radio. Keep it locked. You know I need a girl.
Come on, man. Here's something for him.
Baby, please believe me when I tell you that I need a girl. So come on, pretty lady, won't you holler back? I need a girl.
You're having a good day. Let's make it a great night. Been wanting to see you and tell you you're so tight. Yeah, I'm a special lady. You're one of a kind. And every time I see you shine, it's like the lights of midnight on New
later. She stay in the mix like a cross later. It's about to go down. No elevator. Live for the moment. Love in the air. She got me feeling like I don't want to be a player. Real talk. So I don't want to be unfair. Now watch the apple drop and celebrate the year. Yeah. I see you shining way from over there. And all them other girls, nah, they don't compare. I whisper something bomb to you all up in your ear. I infiltrate your mind and then I penetrate her. I get it cracking, baby. Call me the cracker later.
Get a great night.
Make it a great night.
Been wanting to see you.
You know I see you.
And tell you you're so tight. Yeah, I'm a special lady. You're one of a kind.
Yeah.
And every time I see you shine, it's like the lights of me.
on New Year Eve.
Do you believe?
And I do believe.
Yeah, you got to believe it.
On New Year Eve.
Can't stop, we won't stop.
We can
live, baby.
Forever.
Ever in the day.
Uh-oh.
Grab a glass, make a toast to the good life. Bacardi Lime and Ciroc, help pass the time. Leather seats in the back of the Phantom riding. You stay on my mind, so I had to make you mine. Master Kush, smoke for a mastermind. My special lady, only one of a kind. I never seen it coming, I guess love is blind. New Year's, watch the city come to life. Yeah, I must say, girl, you looking right. Your hair did, nails did, dress fitting tight. I think I just might see she the one I like. See, we can live forever, girl, this is how
it is. Let's make it a great night.
Make it a great night.
Been wanting to see you.
She know I see you, girl.
Tell you so tight.
So tight.
Yeah, you're my special lady.
Yeah.
You're one of a kind.
You're one of a kind.
Yeah. And every time I see you shine, it's like the light of midnight.
On what?
On New Year's
yeah.
Eve.
Do you believe?
And I do.
Love from Afar is the Christopher Allen Williams Foundation that I started roughly about 4 years ago when my son was fatally killed in a car crash. When I realized there were four children or young adults in the car who made some destructive decisions based on what they told me happened, I realized it was time for me to stand up to let the teens stand up and take ownership. And if they see more adults taking ownership, they will. So I began to tour the schools and go around and share my message. And ever since I've done that, volumes of this have come out. People reaching out, you saved my life. Thank you for speaking up. And I said, well, if I can speak up and share how easy it is for me to speak up, maybe I can get other parents and other community activists to speak up as well. Didn't realize that I would dive in it to the point where I walk away from a career and say, I can step out on faith and do this because I know I'm doing it. Things that happen come so easily. This must be meant for me to do. When my message was out and I noticed that everybody in the community was kind of hearing it, and this is amazing to say the least, because I didn't even know it would get like this. And Mr. Ford heard my vision, decided he wanted to be a part of it. And this is a gift he donated to my actual foundation. So this is awesome. He's saying, when you go out to the school, make sure they see this, make sure they know. And then he's continuing to dump into the foundation, because anyone that buys a car from Stone Mountain Chrysler, the foundation gets $100 for every car sold. So I'm very excited about that, because people are taking their own success and allowing me to build my success up upon it. The future looks international. The future looks international. I plan to go to every school. Like, I visited in Jamaica about last month, and I said, okay, I need to come out here. And I'm not stopping. I mean, United Kingdom was the first country I saw show me the definition of texting and driving and the end result of it. So I'll be there too. I'm going anywhere I can to make sure I can make this message. From a parent perspective, we know everybody's involved in a crash, but for a parent to know, I understand, I reach out, I'm here. I want the whole community to know, as we as parents can come together and make a difference. All right. There you go. You heard it first here on Brown Sugar Radio. At this time, I'm going to bring live, on behalf of Global Mobile Alert, we have Demetrius Thomas and Michael White. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio this evening.
Good evening.
Thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedule in regards to this awesome application that has been life-changing. And certainly we have Cynthia on the line as well. But I wanted to take this opportunity, before Cynthia gets into how this application has been just so inspirational to her,
Can you share with our listeners tonight why this is so important to have and how can it save a life?
Demetrius, are you there?
Yeah, I thought he was addressing that to you. Well, the reason we feel it's important is because we're just trying to help, and we think that anything that can curb a distraction, whether it's a person in a car or a solution like this app, it's worth having. But it's up to the individual to look into, you know, how serious they are about their own life, because that's the reality of it.
That's true.
So if a person's not taking their life too serious, they're going to continue to text and drive. You know, but they're invisible. It's not going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the people who we're trying to help.
And I definitely want to say that I am guilty of texting and driving. And this show has certainly made me think, because it's something you don't think. It's like almost second nature, which is a terrible habit. But, you know, I want for all of my listeners to take heed to the valuable information that is being shared tonight, because this application is something that I definitely want for all of you to take advantage of. And rather, is it Michael or Demetrius, whoever would like to share with our listeners tonight, you know, how they can find more information and what they can do to get started?
Well, it was created on the Android platform, so therefore it's a Google application that works on every wireless carrier. So if you have an Android phone, oh, mind you, I am not promoting Android. What I'm promoting is the application and the solutions that can prevent distractions.
Okay.
So you can go
And the good thing is this can go on any phone that has
the Android application, which is an operating system that works on
and any carrier that, right, it doesn't have to be an exclusive only AT&T or Verizon. It could be anyone that has the Android application. Okay.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to make sure our listeners know.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken, actually, we are developing for further platforms, but right now it is only available at Android.
Okay.
But I just wanted to, first off, reiterate, going back to Cynthia's message and how much more, we've started working with Cynthia, but the inspiration of her words were just so overwhelming. And, you know, I just want to congratulate what she's out there doing. And what we're trying to do is, like Demetrius said, provide a solution for distractions. It's not necessarily that you're just texting and driving because mother's in their car. When the pacifier drops on the floor, you reach down, you get distracted. Whatever the situation may be, but, you know, over 80% of all accidents are caused because of distractions. Now, what Demetrius started 17 years ago was before the technology involved that could actually handle this type of application. So by being prescient for our times, he actually developed something that was going to fit for our days. And so what has happened is that we've introduced this to the marketplace, and by getting it out there through the internet or through your carrier, we're actually trying to make sure that people are aware of the distractions that they encounter every day, and to alert you to when you're coming up to our point of interest, which are streetlights, railroad crossings, or school zones, because we want to make sure that the people are aware of where they are, even if you're not familiar with your area. So,
right, that makes sense.
That's basically what we're doing, you know? So anyway.
I wanted to iterate on something also. Last year, 34,000 people lost their lives due to some kind of distraction.
Wow.
The year before that was 37,000. The year before that was 41,000. The year before that is 43,000. But you have the United States Department of Transportation saying that they're doing something about it. And I don't know what it is, but I feel that, you know, me, you, your son, Any one of us could have been one of those statistics. And we have to look at the person in the next seat, and we have to look at the person when we shut the door and make sure that, you know, we come home to them safe. And so this,
that's true. You know, it's a very, very valid point that, you know, you two are addressing, and I feel so strongly about it, and especially this time of year. This is a show that could not wait until 2011. This is a show that needed to take place now because many of you know the holiday season, we get busy and we're on our phones and we're texting and, you know, we're trying to do all kind of things while we're driving. And, you know, drinking is certainly a big no-no, but we know we're going to have people out there doing it. And I just hope this message touches somebody in a way that will make you rethink that decision.
And that makes sense. You know, and it's funny that when I started and I made sure, I thought it was so phenomenal to do a joint venture with Demetrius and his staff for the Global Mobile Alert, because as I go out, and I just want to let everyone know, we want you to be able to follow Love From Afar and Global Mobile Alert by going onto our website and also knowing that we're starting a tour in January. And here in Georgia, the local sheriff's department, the county sheriff's department, and also one of the Chrysler dealerships at Stone Mountain Chrysler, they donated a car to our foundation, to Love From Afar, so that I can go out and tour. And that's all over the website. Everybody can go on and see it, which is www.lovefromafar.net. And I'm going to take that car and travel this country and share that story, and then also offer solutions. Anything that will save a person while they're distracted while driving. So we're starting with Global Mobile Alert because we need people to know these things are out there. We just need to be a little proactive with it and know that if you have something that can at least pull those statistics down, 36,000 people, that just speaks volumes for a human in itself. It's almost like roadkill. That's a lot of humans.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It really is. Well, we're going to have to get to 3 million before they do something.
It's
crazy.
Exactly.
Real quick, we have 8 minutes remaining. You are full of so much information. I hate that we only have 8 minutes left. We got to do a part two. But I want to stress the PADD organization that you have put together, which is just a mission on the move. Parents Against Distracted Driving, let us know how it's changed lives and what's in progress as far as this organization.
Well, Parents Against Distracted Driving is the name of the tour that Love From Afar will be hosting, and we will be going on a 50-city tour starting in January, and then we're going to go around and explain to the kids. We're going to do it on the weekend, so we have no reason to interfere with school. We want the parents to be involved, and we want you all to look out. Coming in your town, we'll be there. I know we're confirmed right now for Midland, Texas, January 28th, and we're confirmed in Atlanta in January at a big community event. But if you go on our website, you'll see everything. And we're going to take this, and we're going to go from city to city and get the parents to hear my story so that they can go home and then deprogram or reprogram their children with distracted driving. And if you're going to take the car, you need to follow these rules.
One of the things that I love the most is how you mentioned your goal is to go to the hospitals and meet the parents of crash victims and their families. That has got to be really an impact, and just to have a child that has passed and to talk to another parent. Only another parent that has lost a child can relate to that. You couldn't talk to somebody who hasn't been through that, and I think that is such a powerful way of reaching out and just helping others during a time of catastrophe. And I just said, wow, I never even could imagine.
Oh, yeah, it's a weird feeling to walk up in a hospital.
That.
Yeah, to walk in a hospital, you don't know this family, and everybody's crying, and it's a stranger comes up to you and say, hey, did everybody eat? Does anybody need water? And they say, who are you? And I said, well, my name is Cynthia Williams, and I'm the founder of Love From Afar. And my son was also killed in a car crash, and I know what support I lack thereof, so I'm here for you so you don't have to lack it. And they look like, you want to help me? Yeah,
wow.
I want to help you. That's what we need to do. We have to help each other.
And I wanted to chime in something, too. The 34,000 people that lost their life last year, they had parents also. Okay, so
okay.
So each 34,000, and each person out of the 34,000, let's see, maybe 200 or 300 people was affected out of each one of those people's lives because they had to take off work, they had to go to a funeral, they had to grieve, they can't see their friend anymore. This is serious stuff. But
oh, yeah.
Every day during drive time, 8:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the afternoon, 1 o'clock at lunchtime, and mainly between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. Man, you see everybody with a cell phone driving. They're not even on the phone, but they got a phone in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what's going on? And they know that there's a law that's saying you can't do it, but guess what? They still do it because it can't happen.
It's like any other law.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, just like wearing the seatbelt is a law. Yeah, you're right.
It is what it is. But you also, Global Mobile Alert is not the only app. There's other apps out there as well. Several, Zoom Safer, Teen Arrive Alive. I gotta give Google and Verizon props because they are out there in the forefront, along with these other people that are out there trying to make a difference, and all these other carriers as well. But I really gotta give Verizon and Google their props, and Motorola. Those are the people, and if you are with those companies, y'all should sponsor Cynthia's cause because it's a good idea.
Beautiful. Now,
that's
I want to shout out
say.
Your website, Demetrius, but certainly any other links
it's
that you have.
GlobalMobileAlert.com, but the shorter version is GMA4.com. But most importantly, if you have an Android phone, whether it's a HTC, Droid X, they got so many Droids, go to the Android marketplace and shop for Global Mobile Alert. It's very expensive. It's $9.99 for the whole year.
Oh, gosh. Come
which
on.
Is like, what, 52 cents a month?
Right, right. I'm like,
well,
all right.
Whatever.
Very
all
right. Expensive.
I think
right.
We got folks that pay $200 a month on cell phones, all right? Come on, listeners.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
$9.99 for the whole year to save your life. Let's add
yeah.
up the cost. That's
right.
Priceless.
Right.
Yes. That is
well, thank
priceless.
You for
Cynthia,
us.
Go
I
ahead
really
and please shout out your link, and how can the listeners, because we have 3 minutes left, follow and find out the tour dates and locations in their area?
Okay. We're on all social media sites. We're Facebook, Twitter, Google, blogs. We're everywhere. Anywhere that you need to connect with us, we have a fan page, Love From Afar, the Christopher Allen Williams Foundation. There's a website, www.lovefromafar.net, www.lovefromafar.net. And also know that you can email us, and our tour dates will be updated as soon as we get confident dates on where we'll be, because I have so many people reaching out to me now wanting me to come and speak to all of the children that now I'm just trying to figure all of the states out and make sure the cities are where they should be and where I should be when they need me. So we want to do it where it's impactful, but please feel free. We're accepting any requests to come out. We're going to do it at a major school just so we can get the staff involved. Everybody who touches a child's life needs to be involved in this movement, and we're also always accepting donations. I mean, I'm traveling in this car with all of my supplies, gas cards, food cards, whatever. I'm going to be on the road for the next year sharing this story. So anybody wants to help and sponsor, please be willing.
Beautiful.
We're there, and this is what our movement is, and be a part of it, please.
What an honor. What a great honor. And Fox Atlanta had actually supported this story yesterday.
And Kim, I forgot to tell the audience that if they download the app, they can test it for 48 hours free at no cost. And if they like it.
We do have that on the website as well. Absolutely. Those of you who are tuning in to the archive segment, I'm not catching it live. Certainly you want to take advantage of that 48-hour special. All right. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. Cynthia
thank
Williams,
you for having us.
Michael White, Demetrius, Thomas.
Thank
I want to
you,
say
Thomas.
Thank you all for joining us on Brown Sugar Radio and putting a message out there. You know, this is definitely something not to take lightly. And so I want to support Global Mobile Alert as well as the Love From Afar Foundation.
Many of you, please take the opportunity to look into it, find more information, and spread the word. All right, well, thank you so much, you guys, for coming through tonight on Brown Sugar Radio and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, and let me know when you're ready to do part two. We'll go ahead and make sure we can set it.
I know, an hour was not enough time. Man,
I
tell
know.
You. Jeez.
I just want to say Brown Sugar Radio kicks butt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
Thank
so much.
You.
Wow.
Right, God bless. Well, take care.
God bless you. Thank you. All right,
Thank
well, we only have a few seconds remaining. I got to say, each and every one of you have a safe and prosperous new year. Make sure that you guys take to heed the lessons and the information that was shared this evening because it will change your life. You know how I like to close on Brown Sugar Radio. I always like to make sure that we end with a motivational saying. And the quote that I have for tonight, all right, are y'all ready for this? Pray to God, but keep rowing toward the shore. God can't move through a parked vehicle. All right, well, you guys be blessed, and certainly keep it locked here on the live show on the Internet, Brown Sugar Radio. Happy New Year.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's happening.
That's
where it's the most impressive show.
On Internet Radio.
Brown
Sugar,
Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip.
And gossip.
Breathtaking topics. The latest fashion.
Health and beauty,
tips.
Underground hip-hop and R&B.
And artists to make you groove and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm going to take my time so I can get a